Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So, you know how this works. We take a topic and then we kind of go deep for you guys so you can get up to speed real fast. And today we're looking at robots.
Robots, one of my favorite topics.
And more specifically, we're going to look at how researchers are making them smarter, like way smarter, especially when it comes to dealing with the real world, you know, all that chaos.
Absolutely. The unpredictability of the real world, that's a huge challenge for robots.
Yeah. Okay, so for this one, we got this super cool study from Nature Machine Intelligence.
Yeah, it's a fascinating paper.
And it lays out this totally new way to think about like what robot intelligence even means.
It really does, like a fundamental shift.
So our mission, if you choose to accept it, is to figure out how these researchers are combining AI, you know, the really advanced stuff, with actual robots, like the ones with arms and legs and all that.
Making them do things in the real world, it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, so like imagine this, right? You're at home, you're chilling, you're tired, and you tell your robot, "Hey, I'm beat. Can you like make me a hot drink or something? And oh, also, can you decorate that plate we're using for cake later?"
That's the dream, right? Having a robot that can just handle those everyday tasks.
Yeah, like it sounds like sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
But there's this new system that we're going to explore today called Elmer.
Elmer.
And yeah, it's making that dream like a lot closer than you might think.
It's making some serious progress, for sure.
So what's really interesting here, like at the heart of it all, is this idea. It's called embodied intelligence.
Embodied intelligence, yeah. It's a really powerful concept.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. Like, what does that even mean when we talk about us humans? You know, like, what's embodied intelligence for a human?
So for us, intelligence isn't just something that happens in our brains, right? It's not just like thinking hard.
Right. It's not just like sitting in a chair and pondering.
Exactly. A
Yeah.
lot of what we consider intelligence, like how we focus our attention, how we understand language, how we learn new things, how we even see the world, it's all connected to our bodies.
Oh, I see. Like our bodies are actually a part of how we think.
Exactly. The way we move and interact with the world shapes our intelligence.
That's fascinating. So it's like our brain and our body are kind of working together all the time.
Totally. Think about learning to ride a bike. You don't just read a book about it, you know? You actually have to get on the bike, feel the balance, figure out the pedals, the steering. Your whole body is involved in learning.
Right. It's like
Yeah.
your body kind of learns it, not just your brain.
Exactly. Your brain and body learn together. It's not just about thinking, it's about doing, it's about experiencing. And that's embodied intelligence.
Okay, so then how do researchers take this idea, like this human idea of embodied intelligence, and apply that to robots?
That's the key question, right? So the researchers behind Elmer are basically asking, do robots need something similar? Like, if we want robots to be truly intelligent in our world, do they need this connection between their thinking part, their AI, and their physical bodies?
It makes sense when you put it like that.
Right. Because if they can't sense the world, if they can't move and interact with things, how can they really understand it?
I mean, it's kind of obvious when you think about it. We take it for granted, but like to grab a cup of coffee, you gotta like see it, feel it.
Exactly. It's not just processing information like a computer. It's about that physical interaction.
So like Elmer is basically trying to give robots that missing piece, right? The connection between thinking and doing.
You got it. They're trying to bridge that gap so robots can actually start to understand the world in a more human-like way.
And that's important, especially if we want robots to actually be helpful in our daily lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it. If you want a robot to help you in your home, it needs to be able to handle objects, navigate spaces, interact with people, and all of that requires this embodied intelligence.
Right, because like right now, even the most advanced robots kind of struggle with those everyday things that we don't even think about, really.
Yeah, it's funny, right? We have robots that can do incredibly precise tasks in a factory, but ask them to make a cup of coffee and
It's a disaster.
pretty much. I mean,
Yeah.
even making a cup of coffee, which seems so simple to us, is actually really complex for a robot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
There's a ton of steps, right? First, it needs to understand what you mean by make a cup of coffee. Then it has to figure out where everything is, the mug, the coffee, the water. It might need to open drawers, which, as we all know, can be a nightmare for
Oh,
robots.
yeah, those videos of robots trying to open doors are
A lot.
hilarious.
And then there's measuring the coffee, pouring the water without spilling, dealing with changes like someone bumping the table. It's a lot to handle.
It's like all that stuff we just do without thinking, robots really struggle with.
And that's because most current robotic systems are still very reliant on pre-programmed responses. Like, they're told exactly what to do in every situation.
So they're not very good at improvising.
Not at all. And even though we've made some progress with things like reinforcement learning, where robots learn by trial and error, and imitation learning, where they learn by copying humans.
Those sound promising.
They are. But they still struggle when they encounter something totally new. Like, they haven't learned how to handle that specific situation.
So they can learn, but only within a limited set of rules, right? It's
oh,
not
right.
real understanding.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where Elmer comes in. It's trying to break free from those limitations.
Okay, so tell us a bit about Elmer. Like, what is it and how does it work?
Sure. So Elmer stands for Embodied LLM Enabled Robot. And the LLM part is important here.
LLM.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
So LLMs are large language models. Think of them like the brains behind those super smart chatbots that are popping up everywhere. Like, they're really good at understanding language and generating text. And one of the most famous LLMs is GPT-4.
Okay, so Elmer is using something like GPT-4.
It is, and that's a big deal because it means the robot can understand way more than just simple commands. It can actually understand complex instructions and even information from its sensors about what's going on around it.
Whoa, so it's like you can actually think about what it's doing.
In a way, yeah. And it can break down those complex tasks into smaller, more manageable steps.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. So if you tell it to make a hot drink, the LLM can help it figure out that it needs to find a mug, get the coffee, heat the water, and all the other steps involved. It's not just blindly following a script.
So it's like it understands the overall goal and then figures out how to achieve it.
Exactly. And it gets even cooler. Elmer also uses something called a knowledge base and retrieval augmented generation, or ARAG for short.
ARAG. Okay, now we're getting into some serious acronyms here.
I know, right? But stick with me, it's pretty straightforward. Basically, ARAG is like giving the robot access to this huge library of skills and knowledge. Think of it like a giant how-to manual for all sorts of tasks.
Okay, so it's like the robot has this big database of how to do different things.
Exactly. Like how to pour a liquid, how to scoop something, how to open different kinds of doors, even how to draw. And these aren't just fixed movements. They're more like flexible examples that the robot can adapt to different situations.
Oh, that's smart. So like if it needs to pour water into a mug, it can look up different ways to pour depending on the size of the mug and how much water it needs.
Exactly. It's not just one preset pouring motion. It can adjust based on what it's doing.
So it's learning from examples, but also adapting those examples to new situations.
That's the key. And that's where the retrieval augmented generation part comes in. The robot can actually search through this knowledge base in real time, find the most relevant examples, and then use them to figure out what to do.
So it's like it has all this knowledge and it can use it on the fly. It's not just stuck with what it was originally programmed with.
Exactly. And that makes a huge difference. The research shows that using ARAG actually makes the robot's actions much more reliable and less likely to go off track.
Okay, so we've got the language understanding, the knowledge base, it's all starting to come together. But what about the actual physical interaction? Like, how does the robot see and feel what it's doing?
Right, so that's where the vision feedback comes in. Elmer uses a special kind of camera called a depth camera. And what's cool about depth cameras is that they can see the world in three dimensions. Like, they can tell how far away objects are.
Ah, so it's not just a flat image. It can actually understand depth.
Exactly. And that means it can identify objects like your coffee mug and know exactly where they are in space. In fact, the researchers reported that the robot could identify a specific white cup with 100% accuracy in their experiments.
Wow, 100%. That's impressive.
It is. But of course, like any vision system, it has its limitations.
Right. I was going to ask about that. Like, what are the things it can't do so well?
So it can get confused if objects look really similar or if there are too many things blocking its view. Like if your kitchen is super cluttered, it might have trouble seeing everything clearly.
Yeah, that makes sense. But still, it's pretty amazing what it can do.
Absolutely. And then we have force feedback. This is like giving the robot a sense of touch. It uses sensors to measure how much force it's applying when it interacts with objects.
Oh, so it can feel how hard it's gripping something or how much pressure it's putting on something.
Exactly. And that's crucial for a lot of tasks. Like if it's pouring water, it needs to know how much force to use so it doesn't spill. Or if it's setting a mug down, it needs to be gentle so it doesn't break anything.
It's like it's getting that feedback from the world, right? Just like we do with our own sense of touch.
Precisely. And the research even shows how the robot uses different kinds of force feedback for different parts of a task. Like it might use a little push upwards to make sure a mug is placed correctly on a surface, and then specific sideways forces to open a drawer.
So it's not just one type of force feedback. It's using different forces depending on what it's doing.
Exactly. And they even measured how accurately it could pour liquids, which was actually quite good at certain speeds.
So it's getting pretty good at those delicate tasks.
It is. And all of this, the language understanding, the knowledge base, the vision, the force feedback, it all works together in this really amazing way.
Okay, break it down for me. Like, how does it all come together?
So you give the robot a task, right? Like, make a hot drink. The LLM takes that instruction and, using its knowledge base, it starts to figure out what needs to be done. It breaks down the task into those smaller steps we talked about, and then it translates those steps into commands for the robot's body.
So it's like the LLM is the brain and it's telling the body what to do.
Exactly. And as the robot is moving and interacting with the world, it's constantly getting feedback from its vision and force sensors. And it can use that feedback to adjust its actions in real time, especially if something unexpected happens, like if someone moves the mug while it's pouring.
That's smart.
Right. It's not just blindly following a set of instructions. It's constantly adapting to what's happening around it.
So it's like it's thinking and acting at the same time. It's really starting to sound like that embodied intelligence we were talking about.
It is. And the researchers wanted to really test this, so they gave the robot a complex task, similar to the one we talked about at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, the make me a hot drink and decorate a plate task.
Exactly. And you know what? The robot actually did it.
No way, really?
It did. And it even talked out loud as it was doing it, explained what it was going to do. Like, I'm going to find a mug, scoop some coffee, pour hot water, and then find something to draw a random animal on the plate.
So it was actually planning and making decisions on the fly.
It was. It wasn't just following a preset list of instructions. It was actually figuring out what needed to be done based on the situation.
That's huge. So it actually made coffee and decorated a plate.
It did. And it wasn't just limited to making coffee. The researchers also showed how the robot could draw shapes on a plate based on simple keywords you gave it. Like, you could say, draw a random bird, and it would actually do it.
How does it even know what a random bird looks like?
They use another AI system called DAE, which is really good at generating images from text descriptions. So the robot could get a picture of a random bird from Delhi and then figure out how to trace that outline onto the plate using its force sensor to control how hard it pressed.
Whoa, that's next level stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are the main advantages of this Elmer system compared to older ways of building robots?
So one of the biggest advantages is that real-time adaptation we've been talking about. Because it's constantly getting feedback and using its AI to think, it can handle unexpected things way better than those robots that just follow pre-programmed steps.
Right. It can improvise.
Exactly. And it can even deal with situations it hasn't specifically been trained for, like opening a drawer with a handle it's never seen before without needing a human to reprogram it.
So it's more flexible and can handle the messiness of the real world.
Precisely. And because it uses both vision and force feedback, its actions are way more accurate and precise. It's not just fumbling around. It's actually got a good sense of what it's doing.
And that knowledge base it has, that's a big plus too, right?
Absolutely. It gives the robot context and examples, which helps it make better decisions and perform tasks more effectively. And as we talked about, using that RAG method really improves the reliability and trustworthiness of its actions. It's less likely to do something totally random or unexpected.
So Elmer is like a big step forward in robotics, right? It's moving us closer to having robots that can actually be helpful in our everyday lives.
It really is. Yeah. And it's exciting to think about where this technology could go next.
Yeah, like what's next for Elmer?
Well, the researchers are already thinking about even more complex and artistic movements. Like, imagine a robot that can actually decorate a cake with frosting or make latte art. That's where they're headed.
That would be amazing. I'd love a robot barista.
Me too. And they're also working on giving the robot a more sophisticated understanding of how forces work and a better awareness of the space around it, like how to manipulate objects in more complex ways and how to navigate cluttered environments more effectively.
So even more fine-tuned control and a better understanding of the world.
Exactly. And what's really cool is that the way Elmer is designed, it's not tied to any specific robot hardware. So it could potentially be used with all sorts of different robots, which means it can keep getting better as AI and sensor technology improve. This idea of combining advanced AI with physical interaction, it really seems like the way forward for robotics.
So to recap, Elmer is basically a new way to think about robot intelligence. It's about combining those amazing language skills of AI with the ability to actually sense and interact with the world. And it's getting us closer to having robots that can understand and respond to the complex everyday situations we face.
If we think back to what we talked about at the beginning, you should now have a much better understanding of how this framework is changing what robots can do. It's giving them a way to see the world, to think about it, and to act in it in a way that's much more similar to how we humans do it.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. And it makes you wonder, right? Like, what happens when robots with this level of intelligence become a part of our daily lives? What are the possibilities? What are the challenges? It's definitely something to keep an eye on. And if you want to learn more about the technical details of Elmer, the full research paper is available in Nature Machine Intelligence. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.